And we are here with, what's your name?
Hamilton Brower.
And Hamilton, how long have you lived here?
Since 2007.
And what brought you here? I think that's
Do you want the
story.
Full story?
Yeah, you know what? Like, whatever you want to share, man.
Yeah, I was working in New York City for 22 years and working in advertising. And actually, my partner at the time was from up here. His name's Brian Parker. The Parker family is... They all grew up. They were born and raised here from the 50s and 60s. And there's a bunch of kids in that family, 9 of them. So that I'm sure a lot of people would recognize the name. So I would come up here on weekends from the city a lot and fell in love with the area. What drew me, I think, up here and to fall in love with it so much was because it reminded me so much of where I grew up myself down in Pennsylvania.
So why didn't you go there?
Yeah, good question. It was Doylestown, Pennsylvania, where I grew up in Bucks County, and that's right outside of Philly. So go Eagles. I'm glad they just won the Super Bowl, actually. And I loved growing up down there. Very, very much. If nobody knows what the area is like, picture this here. Litchfield County, back in the 60s.
Because, you know, people 100 years from now don't know what it's going to look like.
Exactly. So it was so incredible. It's very rural, lots of farmland, rolling hills.
What was the community like?
The community was very close. Everybody, it wasn't like nosy neighbors at all, but everybody, there was a compassion and a caring. I think every neighbor looked out for the other. You know, I think growing up as a kid, we didn't have anything organized like Street Watch or anything, Crime Watch on your, you know, Neighborhood Watch, whatever those things are called. But because I guess somebody tried to coin that years later, we all just did it. It was very neighborly. You know, you noticed when something was up at your neighbor's house and the lights were on, you know, the floodlights were still on during the day, and you would call your neighbor and say, hey, you might want to shut them off. It's going to cost you too much money. Everybody knew each other. The kids were all friends. The families did things together. There was just a real sense of community. And a sense of community to me means looking out for each other, caring about each other. Nobody was in competition with whose house looked nicer. You actually shared the color of the paint that you were painting your house, you know, when your neighbors asked, because you knew they wanted to use it too. That I get that feel up here in Litchfield County, especially in New Milford, from when I was a kid growing up in the 60s. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that in Bucks County, Pennsylvania anymore. Bucks County's changed, like so many areas, and it's much more transient. You know, there's so many people coming in and out of the area because it's situated between really kind of D.C., Philly, and New York City. Mm-hmm. Bedroom community for a lot of those bigger urban areas. And I think that it's lost some of its hometown community appeal down there. And I saw that hometown community appeal up here from when I was a kid. And so that's what I came to. It's funny, isn't it? You know, everybody says, oh, you always go home and you... Life is just a big cycle, and you're going to go back to where you started from. I didn't do that really physically, geographically, but I did it communally. I really was, I think, going back to that authentic small-town lifestyle that I love. Love the outdoors. Love that combination of outdoors and access to urban life. We have such good access to New York and Boston and Hartford, you know, here. There's also just such a cool sensibility here of things that are more important in life than getting on that treadmill and working so hard, and you know, the sustainability movement, the whole food grown local movement, the organic movement, all the things that really come back to become so important to a healthy lifestyle, which is my focus in life. And I'll be happy to share that if you want me to. But those elements are so important, and they're burgeoning here. I love that aspect of this area, and I want to promote it more among our own community too, to make sure that people are accessing it and supporting it and understanding why it's so important, and actually how rare it's become to find.
So I find it interesting that you talk about Bucks County, and then you to sort of find corollaries, you find these towns that are around New Milford. So I'm just curious, why do you think New Milford is different? Why didn't New Milford become one of those, whatever, lacking those communally void areas, I guess?
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question.
We can come back to it too. You can think about it.
No. I mean, it's forcing me to think, which is a good thing.
It's early in the morning. Yeah.
You know what it is, and it's really interesting because, wow, New Milford to me represents so many similarities that my hometown of Doylestown, Pennsylvania, represented. And that is that and this could be wrong, but hey, our perceptions aren't wrong. They're just different perceptions, right? I get the sense that New Milford represents more of kind of the blue-collar, harder-working hub of this entire county. And the real workers, the people who made the county function, tend to live here in New Milford. And the outlying towns that kind of are known, you know, to the New York Weekender set and stuff as the, I don't know, whatever, the tawnier Weekender towns, you know, those were serviced by New Milfordites, I think. I mean, that's kind of my visual in my head, that I'm a very visual person. So speaking into this microphone and recording is interesting. But I like, yeah, I'm speaking with my hands a lot. I just see it as the hub, which is interesting. I see New Milford as the hub, not just from a worker standpoint, but it's kind of I don't know if I would call it the spiritual. It's like the communal hub of the county. And the rest of the county I see as obviously very integral in the mix of what forms a community. But I think that New Milford has a lot to offer in that respect as kind of the foundational hub of this county. And I don't know. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to anybody listening to this, but it's interesting because coming from a marketing and advertising background, part of just the way I think is not just trying to sell something at all, but being given a product or a service or something, breaking it down to its most simplistic character traits, and then repackaging it and communicating that out to the public. That's kind of what we do. Take this pen and sell it to somebody. So you have to break it down first and figure it out. I love kind of breaking down a town like New Milford and trying to figure out what it is that it represents within the greater picture of the county community. And I see it as just really family-oriented here, and I love the Little League. I love the baseball teams and the amount of families that are involved with that kind of community mm-hmm. activity, which is a huge activity. It's the baseball, the adult leagues, the softball leagues. There's a really wonderful communal fun competition going between all the teams. That's the stuff that brings communities together, you know? I mean, that's the thing that I think kind of weaves that that tapestry of a community together, is all the different aspects interwoven and how they interact with each other to form a greater whole. And I see that in New Milford, but I also see that it has the potential. It's a very fine line between a really successful, well-organized, participatory community and one that kind of falls by the wayside, like I feel like we've all seen so many small towns go.
I'll push on that a little bit. Like, how do you think you see New Milford potentially failing?
I think that a lot of us have seen, I've noticed since I've been here just since 2007, I've seen it, I think, on an economic level a little bit. Just the downtown, I see shops, some of the retailers struggling a little bit as we, I think, try to juggle maintaining the downtown center of our town around the green, which is, aren't I right to say it's the largest green in Connecticut?
No, actually, Lebanon is the longest green.
Oh, longest?
I don't know. Maybe, I think Lebanon is the largest, but New Milford is fairly significantly.
I mean, we have this beautiful, incredible green, and I think I would love to propose to the town politicians. I mean, we need to set a 10, 15, 20 year business plan, not business, but marketing plan, strategic plan for the town, and say, who are we? Who do we want to become? What do we want to represent? What do we want to stand for? I hate seeing some of the, I have good ideas. Yeah, I do. I have a lot of ideas. I hate seeing some of the retailers closing down and some of the storefronts unoccupied for months and months at a time. And that's happening more and more in small towns. Let's just be smart and let's be authentic and real and look at, it's no surprise that's the way the economy is growing. The onslaught of the internet, and we can all stay at home in my boxer shorts and shop, at 10:30 at night and have something at my house in 2 days. That's really serious competition that's taking us away from the vibrancy of our downtowns. And I would love to see some form of major community development going on for downtown. I know they call it economic development generally, but it doesn't even have to raise money. It's actually bodies and participation. And I love when they bring a band in on Thursday nights in the summer. Mm-hmm. They bring music in, live music, and there are a lot of people who show up. I think it should draw a heck of a lot more people. Mm-hmm. And I want to help promote that. I want to get involved in promoting that. There's a guy in downtown. Is that okay to mention?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Who I really, excuse me, think is, if I only had some coffee, is, who's really doing a great, great job of starting that interwoven connection of our community big time again. And he's doing it while he's addressing the issues that are facing small towns. Tony Van Grove.
I was guessing.
I love this guy. I love what he stands for. And he started the Makery co-working business, which is, to me, it's just brilliant. It's recognizing the trends that are going on in our business and in our economy. A lot more people are working from home. A lot more people are independent contractors for companies and their network marketing and all that kind of thing. And there are a lot more people consulting too with their own businesses. And so he's created that platform, that physical space right on Bank Street to invite those people who are working individually and to invite them into a space where they can share their ideas, they can share their stories, they can pitch a new idea to a small group of, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever people, and have them throw rocks and shards of glass at it and help you, you know, make it into a better, more viable idea. And it's brilliant to me, but why it's brilliant isn't just the business model, it's what it represents. It's and that's what this town represents to me. That's what the potential of this town represents to me too, is that vibrancy, that life that, you know, you breathe into a community when everybody participates and shares their story and helps their neighbor and says, that's a good idea, but I think, you know, I saw it done really well in this other town up in Maine. I've got a million ideas. I've seen things done up in Maine, and I know that land, what is that land called where they were proposing that Panda project electricity?
Oh, yes, it was formerly Brass Company. It was the Century Brass.
Century Brass. And I wasn't here for that. Like, I didn't know that company. I didn't know that they were here. I was here to see the eyesore of the rusty buildings on that property, and I always used to point to it and say, what was that? Like, that's so weird and ugly. Anyway, I know that the town is trying to figure out what to do with that property. Well, guess what? Why don't we come up with that strategic business plan for the town, a marketing plan, so that we all agree what we want our town to represent in the future. Do we want it to represent the, you know, electrical grid, you know, generator for a Panda company? No, I don't. I don't want to live there.
Right.
Do we want to maybe want it to represent, I don't know, the healthiest town in Connecticut? Yeah. Like, and what does that mean? You know, we can start promoting organic. We can use that property maybe and create, the first ever Connecticut State Botanical Gardens. Why don't we do that? And start generating excitement and interest around the community, putting something productive together, something not just productive, but that actually addresses the marketing plan, the mission statement for the town that we create. And it brings in people from outside of our town to see our town because we actually have something more to offer. And that just creates this new, you know, fresh enthusiasm and excitement that we can all really rally around together as neighbors, as a community. And that will start, I think, increasing the participation. Did I say that right?
It was close.
Participation?
There you go.
That word. Participation of the community.
Do you think, though, that... Blah, blah, blah. No. I think this is brilliant, and I think it sort of drills down into our hopes and dreams for the community, but also the glimmers of what our community actually is, right? So yeah. our community... This is going to be really redundant. So I'll say it this way. Our town is very community-driven.
Right.
But I'm going to push on the idea of creating a plan for New Milford, because do you think that New Milford is unified enough to create a plan for what it wants it to be?
No, I don't. Well, I think we could be, but it would take a lot of work. I think it would actually even be interesting. It would take a leader to come in, to be invited in, and to maybe do a workshop to say, this is how a successful community can work together,
right,
even when there are seemingly disjointed individual ideas and interests at stake. And that's what I see a lot. I think a lot of people I've heard complain about the Facebook pages and things, and I think they've gotten better, personally. But the community New Milford Facebook pages, it seems like there's a lot of infighting with people. And I think what I see is a lot of passion there, and that people are just sharing their ideas, what they're doing, which I think is, it's part of a broader picture of our society in the U.S. today. which is awful, how divided people are. Did I say it was awful? And people representing their own interests and not coming together and remembering that community building is a process. And a process infers cooperation between individuals and infers raising everyone up and supporting every individual in the community and recognizing them as worthy individuals, that everybody has a voice and that everybody's voice and opinion matters and is deserving of being heard. And I think what we need is a leader or a group of leaders who can siphon through all of that and start to piece and weave together all the different parts that they're hearing in like a town meeting that tends to just go crazy and create more animosity in a lot of small towns because people can't let go of their own agenda.
Have you seen, in your experience, glimmers of that process, that working together in any sort, anything?
Oh, big time.
Can you give specific examples?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I will. I'm being sarcastic. Okay. I'm teasing, and I probably shouldn't do that.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
You can edit that part out.
I don't edit. I'm kidding.
Oh, good. No, I do, and it's that was a great question because you made me think of how I do.
I know what I'm doing.
I know. I guess you do. That's kind of scary. I was working in advertising and marketing in the city for 22 years. I think I said that earlier. My favorite part of that business was not sitting in a room by myself coming up with a strategy or ideas of how I can sell you this big pen or whatever, you know, I'm supposed to be looking at and coming up with a creative communication to repackage it back to the community. What my favorite part was we would fill a room with lots of different minds, different skill sets, some creative, some from the media group, some from research, who would represent all the research and focus groups of the consumers that we were ultimately going to be talking to, and some strategic thinkers like myself, and we would have brainstorming sessions. My favorite part of the job. Everybody would throw out ideas. No idea was a bad idea. Everybody was heard. We would then, the snowball effect took place. We would all, agree on one direction that we liked more than the others, maybe, and we would start to embellish that. And then we would all throw out more ideas about that idea, and it would snowball into what ultimately would become our strategic direction for the product, how we were going to proceed with it. That can be extrapolated so easily in almost any situation, especially a community like New Milford. We could all get together and brainstorm with the understanding, with a few guidelines, you know, with the right leaders that would say, okay, you know, we're going to agree that it's fine to be critical of an idea only if it's constructive. Right. Constructive criticism is something that Donny Deutsch, who I used to work for in advertising, he kind of coined that. Constructive conflict is what he said. Okay. We can have conflict and we can disagree, that's fine, because that means we have strong opinions and passion behind what we're talking about. When it's constructive conflict, that means that we are sharing our conflicting idea, maybe our criticism, but our goal is to produce to get to a better end. And that's what I think we need. Maybe we could use a workshop in this town on just how to be respectful of other people's ideas and not trash them, but say, you know, you've got a really interesting perspective and an interesting point. I see it going a little bit more this way. And you're just everybody kind of trying to work together to get to a common goal, which is building a stronger, happier, better, more vibrant community.
Have you ever seen glimmers? No, you did. Have you ever seen glimmers of that in our community specifically, in New Milford? Like sort of maybe potentiality that process could work? Or finding a common goal, I guess.
The makery.
The makery, okay.
I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind, and I'm so not, you know, I'm not tied to them or anything. I just see it as what I was just trying to explain, a very productive way to bring a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds together mm-hmm. in a community that is a patchwork of, you know, different backgrounds.
Right.
And bringing everyone together to create a better whole is ultimately what the goal is. Gosh, I'm now trying to think of if I've seen a specific example, and one of them, I think, for me, was getting involved with that panda project a little bit. And I thought it was great that the town held some town meetings and attempted anyway to educate the community about what the project entailed, why they saw it as a viable option that we should consider as a town. I guess it was only because there was quite a bit of dissension and ambiguity about proceeding with the project. Probably that's why there were so many town meetings and everything. But I thought that that was brilliant. I thought mm-hmm. that, you know, the town people who were not for being represented by that type of business coming into the town, I think it was great that they stood up and demanded more meetings so that they could express their concerns. I think the outcome clearly was that we didn't go in that direction as a town, because the townspeople spoke up and said, don't care if we have to get rid of that property or if it's not usable because it was contaminated by brass companies and stuff before. We need to do something and proceed in a more productive direction. What I haven't seen, and maybe it's just because I haven't been directly involved in it, but I haven't seen a real kind of brainstorming session, invitation to the town or for people like myself or anyone else who'd be interested in creating that mission statement for the town itself.
Right.
So that we could identify who we want to become, what we want our town to represent in the scope of the state or something, or New England, for gosh sakes, mm-hmm. right? So that we can stand for something like the greenest town in Connecticut and, you know, and therefore then have a better direction of who we're going to invite to come in and actually present ideas to us as right. a town. And that way they'll fit, those people will be fitting into our marketing plan for the town, and we'd have a much better chance of putting something there on that property.
So is New Milford then just currently, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, currently the town of no? I mean, we're not finding solutions, we're just saying no to things.
It kind of seems like that could be part of where we're going, and the scary part of that to me is I feel like we've all seen that in so many small towns around America, but I mean, in some small towns from Pennsylvania, where I'm from, I mean, that's sort of the direction some of them have gone. And instead of marketing themselves, identifying, creating a plan behind who they want to become, and then strategy behind, okay, how are we going to get there? And that's a productive path to me. That's a really vibrant, living, organic, evolving path for a town. I feel like we have been sort of the town of no, that there are so many competing special interests, if I guess, where they're not brainstorming and coming together and saying, let's not walk out of this meeting or this series of meetings without a good idea that we all can agree on and move forward
right.
with. And I think it's really, really important that we get there as a town. It doesn't matter who is mayor at the time. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right.
It's the town. We all got together and said, no, that's not how I want to be represented, and Panda didn't come in.
Right.
Nothing totally against Panda, per se, but it just wasn't the direction the people wanted to go, so we didn't go there.
Right.
And that's how it works. So we need to get behind what we do want,
right,
and identify that, and then invite those kind of businesses or put a search committee together who goes and looks at the incredible botanical garden, for example, CMBG, Central Maine Botanical Garden, or Coastal Maine Botanical Garden, which is 10 years old. They are now in the vacation state, vacation land of Maine. They are now the number two or number one tourist destination after 10 years. It's incredible. And that's the kind of thing I think we need to aim for.
Right, right. So let's talk about you a little bit. What was your first... When you came to New Milford... So this is a two-part. One, what was your earliest memory of New Milford? And that could be... What sort of reflected this notion of community that you have within New Milford? So what was made you feel like, wow, I'm part of something special? Or, wow, this place is awesome? Or this place sucks? Whatever.
Right. A couple things. And one, as I said in the beginning, I think, didn't I? That I came up here with originally my partner, Brian Parker. We would come up here on weekends. And as I think I stated, he has 8 brothers and sisters, 6 of whom live in this area. And so anytime we came up here, it was usually for a family function. There were a lot of local families invited, lots of kids around. It was exactly what I respond to in my life. It's what I want to do on weekends is I love to socialize. If you can't tell, I hate talking. I love to socialize it. I loved getting to know a lot of local people who were in this area. So I was exposed. My first exposures really were lots of family events and lots of people around at all the events. And they were just simple, fun backyard barbecues around the pool. You know, nothing fancy. Everybody brought something. Everybody had something to share. Again, to me, that identifies what the sense of community really is. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a role. Everybody has something they can offer. So that was really cool. One of the things that really attracted me to the area was the natural beauty and the hiking. We've got a dog. We still share custody of the dog. Buddy. Poor buddy. Buddy is the dog, and he's awesome, and he just rocks and loves to go hiking. I love to go hiking. This area is so amazing in what it offers for outdoors people. Mm-hmm. I mean, being able just to go, and coming from the city too, going up to rent a kayak and canoe because I didn't carry one on my car, up at Lake Warmog, or going up and hiking around Dykes Point up in Candlewood. And I love using the trails with the Steep Rock Association, mm-hmm. all of them, Macrocostas we go to, and Hidden Valley and Steep Rock. And the Pratt Center is a place that I was exposed to early because some of the families with kids, we would go down there, and I know exactly why it grabbed my heart, this area. It reminded me exactly of where I grew up as a kid. Mm-hmm. Exactly of it. I mean, I went to a nursery school in a barn. You know, the barn nursery. We learned how to churn butter. And we played with the chickens. And that's what the Pratt Center. Now, we also learned our ABCs, and I learned a stellar vocabulary, in case you couldn't tell. But, we had fun, and we were connected with... That might be one of the real keys here. We connected with nature and with our natural surroundings, and they utilized... I mean, we weren't really there just to make butter. Mm-hmm. Butter. You know, we were there to, I guess, to learn how to utilize the resources that were in that area that we inhabited, that we settled in, and I don't know, gave me a really strong connection to the environment around me and an understanding, appreciation of the importance of connecting to that. Honestly, it forged a huge, tremendous respect for our local environment within me, too. I mean, I'm very much an activist who's part of all of that. That was early on, too. Am I going back to an old question, maybe?
Yeah.
But
Did you learn that?
There was a big thing with the anti-fracking. I did. I even learned to spell it. Thing. T-H-I-N-G. Thing. I can use it in a sentence. There was an anti-fracking... what is that called? Thing. There was a movement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Around here.
A couple, like... 4 or 5 years ago or something, and it was when I don't know who, the state of Pennsylvania or something, who was fracking the wazoo out of their earth and, you know, damaging their groundwater and all of that kind of stuff. And they wanted to bring their waste, their fracking waste, to surrounding states. Why, you might ask? Oh, because the state that they were fracking in wouldn't accept the waste because they knew it was contaminated and horrible for the environment. So they went first to New York State.
This makes so much sense.
New York State and New Jersey, and then, oh, I don't know, nobody would take it there. Instead of barging it out to some oceanic graveyard, I think they came to Connecticut to say, why don't we bring it here? Thankfully, there was a certain movement thing going on here in Connecticut. And I went to a couple films that people were showing, and they were educating the community, again, building more community within the community, to stand up and form an opinion and say, do we want this here in our state? Is it really going to give us a tax break? No. It won't. And I liked that activism. I liked that sense of participation and also, again, that respect and connection with their environment. And that was part of why I thought, wow, I've landed in a good spot for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go up and rally against,
right,
you know, things, but to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And I actually had one, and I'd only lived here at that point for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
It was kind of cool.
So, Hamilton, we have to wrap up. I really thank you for chatting with us, and maybe we'll talk again, but we'll talk about this once we start recording. And this is the Connecticut Crossroads. Thank you so much.
Great, thanks. I appreciate it.